Welcome one and all to another episode of Signals from Mars. We are back with another exciting episode. Brad trying to get the what is it, the balloons to appear, or what is the peace sign?
I'm gonna jump ahead. Here's what cracked me up about the Sabbath thing, back to the beginning, is how many people were doing this. Which it is technically Sabbath, right?
Right.
And that's where it started.
More associated to Dio than
It totally associated with Dio because Ozzy was this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Enough of that.
I got it. You got it. You got it. So.
Dang. Okay. Let's go.
Jeremy is back. Brad is back, and we're here to talk about Black Sabbath. We're here to talk about the Back to the Beginning, the final show from Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. And yeah, so this was a monumental occasion. Reminds me a lot of, you know, things that happened yesteryear. Jeremy and I recently recorded an episode and we were talking about a Live Aid tribute that was going on, and how, you know, this reminded me of Live Aid to an extent, reminded me of the Freddie Mercury tribute concert as well. There were so many other shows that during the 80s, early 90s, where you had these types of get togethers and all-star jams and different things. And it feels like it's been a long time since something like this has taken place. Earlier today, I was thinking about the Taylor Hawkins tributes that they had done, which was a few years back. And unfortunately, those have never been released on DVD or anything like that. So I panicked when I was thinking about this. I'm like, they can't do that. With this, they need to release something. At least it was released on pay-per-view. The Taylor Hawkins stuff, they didn't do any type of pay-per-view for that. So I'm hoping that that something is done so that us plebeian that we're not able to watch live or tied up for the for the days where you could watch the event over again, weren't able to pull it off to watch it. But anyway, let's just run down the bands, the songs, and we'll discuss some of this stuff as we go along here. So the day started out with Mastodon, with Black Tongue, Blood and Thunder, and then them covering Supernaut. First off, I thought it was real stupid for people to criticize on the internet. Well, why are they forcing them to do Sabbath songs? It was the dumbest thing ever. You know, or why can't they just all play their own songs? I'm surprised that more bands didn't do what Guns N' Roses did, which is mostly Sabbath and two originals, but whatever. You know,
going into this, I actually expected everybody to be doing Sabbath songs. You figure that there's such a huge catalog and all these bands are, you know, obviously there to celebrate Sabbath. I thought they would all do just Sabbath songs. But as it turned out, I thought what they did was pretty cool. Yeah. And I enjoyed all of it. So that makes it great.
Yeah, picking one song each was pretty good, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but we'll get the Guns N' Roses.
Yeah. Cheers. Rival Sons did Do Your Worst. They did Electric Funeral, obviously a Sabbath cover, and they did Secret. Anthrax did Indians, and they did Into the Void, covering Sabbath, and there people were complaining, oh, they didn't play enough songs. Well, you had Charlie coming back out with Pantera. You had Scott and Frank being part of several jams. Joey Belladonna's and John Donais are the only ones that didn't come out in, you know, in other things. And both songs that they played were fairly long. So.
Yeah, Indians was really, I'm failing at being an anthraxologist. But Victor, did you see them play Indians? Did you watch?
See them play. Okay.
I swear that they put something else in there. It wasn't just Indians. I don't know, Jeremy.
Yeah, they seemed to do a little sort of something in the middle, didn't they? They weren't playing the entire song all the way through. I don't know what they were doing, really.
Going back to Indians.
And I was exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And also the bands were only playing 15 minutes. So, you know, what you were saying, those two songs were quite long. And so they didn't have time to fit in one more.
No.
Yeah.
Then you had Hailstorm with Love Bites and So Do I, Rain Your Blood on Me. And I think the shock cover of the day.
Oh, yeah.
which was Perry Mason.
Yeah. By the way, Hailstorm were a storm. They were amazing. I mean, Lizzie Hale stole the show, I think, for certainly early on, and she was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
Which is more the reason for me to pick up tickets for them and Volbeat.
There you go.
So following them was Lamb of God, who played Laid to Rest, Redneck, and then Children of the Grave. After that is where the jam started. So, and unfortunately, they're only listing the singers here because these
the whole band.
You got the whole band. Okay, so the first jam was Ultimate Sin. Was Lizzie Hale singing? Was Nuno Betancourt, Jake E. Lee?
Yeah.
What's that?
Adam Waitman, David Ellefson. Mike Borden.
Yeah, okay. And Mike Borden on drums. Okay.
Yeah.
It almost that was the first moment of where things almost broke down. Everything was running so smooth. And it's like they get on stage and they're ready to start playing. It's, where's Jake?
Yeah.
Well, I've only seen footage from the crowd, but I've heard people say that him and Nuno weren't tuned to the same note or something like that. Like that they were.
I'd be more worried about being tuned to the keyboard guy. That's what I'd be worried about.
Yeah. Okay, so for this first jam, it was the same band throughout because it was Shot in the Dark with David Draymond.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Sweetleaf, which was Sweetleaf, yeah. I guess, was David Draymond as well?
Yep.
No. That was Betancourt, Borden. Oh, sorry, yeah, Draymond it was. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, and Ellefson and Scott Ian.
Yeah. Okay. So Scott Ian came out. Okay. Yeah. And then for Believer, it was Whitfield Crane on lead vocals.
Yeah.
And with that it was Nuno. Who else was playing?
Whitfield Crane.
Scott Ian.
Yeah.
Two from Sleep. Okay.
Two from Sleep, yeah.
And then Changes was the same lineup, except it was Youngblood on lead vocals.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
It was Adam Wakeman and Frank Bello.
Yeah. And then we had Alice in Chains with Man in the Box.
No, can I just intercept, because we had the Jack Black video, which wasn't live. And okay. The only reason I'm mentioning this is because it was unbelievably good. It was it was amazing. If you only see one thing from that show, you've got to watch that. It was incredibly good.
With Rebel Ian, which is Scotty and son, and with Roman Morello, who's Tom Morello's son.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Mr. Crowley. It was, they did a really good, even my wife came in just to sort of, she came in bits, you know, to see little bits of the show and popped in now and again. And she watched that and she said, that's amazing. They're doing a really good job. And they did. It was really good.
Which, interestingly enough, with Jack Black is his connection to Ronnie James Dio. And now him being a part of this. All right. So next was Alice in Chains with Wood, or Man in the Box, Wood, and Fairies Wear Boots.
Yeah.
Sure, the audio went out during the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Not too long, but enough to worry us.
But they showed it again in one of the breaks.
Yeah.
So. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, God, I wanted to hear them do this, you know.
Everyone was complaining. Where's it gone? Where's it gone?
Yeah. William Duvall sounded good on Fairies.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah.
Are we going to go back and talk about who was great and all that stuff? Or?
Yeah. We'll do that in a second.
Keep going.
Gojira did Stranded, Silvera, Mea Culpa, and Under the Sun. Sabbath cover. And then we had, you guys are going to have to help me with who the members of the bands were for these jams. So it was Symptom of the Universe.
So that was the drum off section. And then we had Symptom of the Universe with Betancourt, Morello, and Rudy Sarzo.
Okay. Breaking the Law, which
Carey, Billy Corgan, KK Downing came on, Adam Jones, Morello, Sarzo.
Okay. Snowblind.
Carey, Corgan, Downing, Jones, Morello, Sarzo.
Okay. Flying High again.
So this is when Sammy Hagar came out, Betancourt, and we had Vernon Reed, Sarzo, Smith, and Wakeman.
Yeah. Chet Smith.
Which.
So that was Betancourt, Hagar, Morello, Sarzo, Smith, and Wakeman.
Bark at the Moon.
That was Barker, Betancourt, Papa V, Reed, Sarzo, and Wakeman.
Train Kept a Rolling.
So this is when Steven Tyler came out. So with Barker, Betancourt, Morello, Sarzo, Andrew Watt, and Ronnie Wood made an appearance.
Yeah. And it's funny because on the graphic that you sent me, it says Aerosmith cover, but this is an old blues song. This Aerosmith covered this.
Yeah, that's right.
Was it Yardbirds? Didn't they do this too?
That's a good point. Yeah, maybe.
Could be. So then Walk This Way and Whole Lot of Love.
Yeah, so that was both done by Betancourt, Morello, Sarzo, Smith, Tyler, and Watt.
Okay. Then we move on to Pantera, who did Cowboys from Hell, Walk, Planet Caravan, and Electric Funeral. I don't get why two bands covered the same song. I get that the day is long, but I mean.
There might have been some pot smoking going on. Who knows?
Then you
know, one of them was significantly better than the other one. Just saying, my opinion. Yeah.
They didn't get the email.
You had Tool with 46 and 2, Hand of Doom, the Sabbath cover, and Anima. It's the first time that Tool has been recorded live.
Yeah,
in I think it was 25 years, 30 years, something like that.
Wow.
So it was kind of a big deal.
It was a huge deal. I've never seen video of them playing live.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool to see that.
You had Slayer with Disciple, War Ensemble, Wicked World, Sabbath Song, South of Heaven, Raining Blood, and Angel of Death. From here, you had Guns N' Roses covering a bunch of Sabbath. They did It's All Right, which is a song that they would cover back in the day. Never Say Die. Junior's Eyes, which I haven't been able to see yet, which I absolutely love that song. So I'd love to hear their rendition of that. And then they did Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. And then they played two of their own, Welcome to the Jungle and Paradise City. And then Metallica did Hole in the Sky, which is a song that Pantera covered back in the day. Creeping Death, For Whom the Bell Tolls, Johnny Blade, which I absolutely love as well. I think that those first three songs off of Never Say Die are all just great. And then they went into Battery and Master of Puppets. Then for Ozzy Osbourne, so he did I Don't Know, Mr. Crowley, Suicide Solution, Mama, I'm Coming Home, and Crazy Train. Interesting with who he picked for the band. I mean, it's obvious that that Zach would be there. I was hoping that maybe we would have seen Jake come out and do a song with Ozzy. Unfortunately, did not happen. He had Mike Inez of Alice in Chains, who was obviously in his band for quite a while as well.
And he had an incredible bass tone. He was, sounded so good.
Yeah, and then Tommy Clufetis on drums there. Mm-hmm.
No Ronald McDonald, though.
No Ronald McDonald. That is...
you kids will have to dig back through some signals from Mars old episodes to see what I'm talking about.
You will have to see that. That was my one and only Zoom interview. Then the original Sabbath comes out to do War Pigs, NIB, Iron Man, and Paranoid. Notable people that were missing to me. Tommy Aldridge, Vinny Appice, because he played with Sabbath, and then he did also he did also do some dates when Ozzy was in the band, or when Ozzy had come back. When Bill Ward had some
So they got him to cover.
They got Vinny in because he was ready to go, you know, he knew all the songs. No Carmine.
Yeah, Carmine should have been there.
Other players that I was wondering if they would have brought Joe Holmes in.
That would have been great.
Because I mean he's promoting new music, but he may not have ended it with the best of terms. Brad Gillis is another one that would have been interesting to see, mm-hmm. You know, especially given he has a pass with Sammy Hagar as well, doesn't he? Never mind. I almost fumbled the ball there. For some reason I had in my mind that he was part of HSAS, but that was Neil Sean. To me, those are kind of the people that are connected with Ozzy that I'm surprised that didn't appear. Those are kind of the only ones that I'm surprised didn't, you know, weren't part of the show.
But, you know, there's one guy that should have been there, but you're not surprised he wasn't there, and that's Bob Daisley.
Well,
I mean, look at Ozzy's set list. Four of the five songs were written by Bob Daisley, at least almost 100% the lyrics and some of the music. So,
the thing with that, though, he's done so much over the years, whether right or wrong, that they weren't going to touch him with a 10-foot pole, you know? The other thing too is when this was announced, he right off the bat came out saying that he wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
So at that point I knew we're not seeing Bob Daisley.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there are people that were, oh, you know, he needs to be there, and you brought it up, and just to understand things. If Jake didn't end up playing with Ozzy, you weren't going to get Bob Daisley playing with Ozzy.
I'm really surprised Jake was there, but I'm sure that had more to do with Tom Morello
Yeah, yeah. But there's also pictures of Jake and Ozzy together.
That's
where
true.
where Jake is sitting at Ozzy's feet, and Ozzy has his hand on Jake and stuff like that.
So I don't think Ozzy ever had a problem with Jake.
I think it was all, you know.
Well, somebody else who was really running this whole thing.
But I mean, outside of that, I mean, there's so many stories that we've heard that whether Jake was really messed up on drugs or alcohol as well. And, you know, there's a bunch of things that could have taken place. You know, this is one of these stories where I don't think we'll ever get the full truth to it. And it's probably, you know, half of what one person has said and half of what another person has said. And I'm assuming that there was possibly a push to get money from Bark at the Moon. And there was probably a consistent nagging going on and probably to the point where they said, all right, well, you're fucked up. You keep bugging us about this. So it's time to go. I've got an interesting hypothesis for Jake after this that I'm going to bring up.
Okay.
So
cool.
Your thoughts on the bands, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Go ahead, Jeremy. Good.
Yeah. So, well, I sat down at 3 o'clock UK time and I sat there more or less all the time until 1 a.m. in the morning to watch this. So, you know, I saw the whole lot. And I must admit, I was interested in all of it. There weren't that many bands that I was really upset by. I enjoyed Mastodon to kick it off. I thought they were really good. I really enjoyed Rival Sons. As I mentioned, I enjoyed Hellstorm. I thought that Steven Tyler really stole the show. I was surprised how good he was because he's actually older than Ozzy. He's had throat problems, as we know, and Aerosmith have kind of split up, I guess. But there's something there, isn't there? It's almost like he's sort of saying, let's get the band together again, because he was absolutely fantastic. He was a proper showman. And he was.
It's the best I've ever heard him sing live.
Yeah.
He was so damn good. And he looked every bit of rock star. You know, he brought it. Yeah. He hit the stage and was like,
phew. Yeah.
What I've heard people say out of from his performance is that he'd probably be able to do like a residency where they're playing once a week for like 2 months, but no more touring. Like his voice just can't do the touring grind, and that he sounded so fantastic because he hasn't played live in he did a show like 2 months ago, but previous to that, he hadn't done anything in like a year. So,
I mean, it's interesting because Joe Perry's got the Joe Perry Project on tour at the moment. But I think that when all that's over, I would hazard a guess that Aerosmith will do something. And like you say, it won't be a full tour. It'll be, you know, the odd one or two massive gigs, because I just think he's ready for it again. So we'll see. I hope so, because I'd like to see them. But anyway, so that was Steven Tyler. Moving on, what else did I like? I actually like Slayer. Slayer were a surprise to me because I'm not a massive Slayer fan, but they killed it. They were very good. As we know, Metallica always kill it, so I thought they were excellent. We'll move on to Ozzy and Black Sabbath probably a little bit later. We'll talk about them, because it's all about them. I'll just talk about the other bands. Who didn't perform? I'm sorry to say Axl was terrible, really terrible. The band themselves were amazing. I mean, Guns N' Roses are a very tight band. They know they've played live now for a long time. Their music is fantastic. They've got great songs.
Who's the new drummer? Victor, do you know?
For Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, who is that drumming?
Ian, I forget his last name, but he's the drummer for Duff McKagan's Loaded.
He was really good. Really, really good. Yeah, they were stripped down. You know, they only had they didn't have the keyboard guys and all that other stuff. And, you know,
yeah,
Yeah, yeah. I thought the band was excellent.
Yeah, it's just Axl. Axl was terrible. I mean, he really needs to give it a rest now. It's a shame because he doesn't even look like a rock star anymore. He's got his hair cut short and, he just looks like a bit of a corporate guy who's come out from a marketing meeting. It's a shame because he's trying his best. You know, he is doing his best and he's there on time now, which is great to hear. But he can't sing. He just cannot sing.
You know what he sounded like to me? Okay. You know those videos, Victor, that we share, the Toto Casabien stuff? Yeah. It sounded like those guys did this video and they just overdubbed Axl's vocals with one of their goofy vocal. Because he was hitting, he hit every note. You know, he was like on key and everything and hitting every note, but he was just kind of singing like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe he's just got to get loosened up a little bit. Maybe when he does one of their songs, then he'll bring it out. But no, it was, and who knows what's going on with him, but his voice, yeah, was not good. Not what you'd expect. But I'm going to go a little bit opposite of Jeremy on this and say that he came out and he appeared to be giving it his all. He appeared to be having a good time. He did it. And I thought even with his really goofy voice, it was pretty damn cool. The songs they chose were just great. I love that they're going all these weird, deep tracks from the albums that most people haven't even heard.
By the way, there was another person who didn't sing very well on the day, and that was Papa V. Really terrible at singing Black Sabbath songs. Even though he's great normally, I really didn't enjoy it at all.
Yeah, there's a couple of things about him. A lot of people. One thing that this concert proved is that, say what you want about Ozzy, people will say his vocal, he's not a very good singer, blah, blah, blah. Try to sing one of his songs.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy to sing it well and sound good. There's only a couple of people I think that covered one of these songs and vocally sounded great. One of them was Jay, Rival Sons. That dude, holy crap. He was the real deal. And he sang the crap out of Electric Funeral.
Yeah.
He was so, so good.
Yeah.
And the other, which was a huge surprise, because when he walked out on stage, I was prepared to just start throwing stuff like I think a lot of people were. You know what I'm talking about? Youngblood. That dude, I think he had a moment. That whole concert, it's like for one moment, everything just kind of stopped and focused on him singing that song. I don't really care about Changes. It's one that I never put on any of my tapes when I, had all my sets of Sabbath. It's a song I would skip. It's just like, it's just not a great song, but I loved him singing that song. And he just drew the whole crowd in. He got up there and everybody just got on board right away. He had just had that natural charisma. So yeah. I'm going to give bonus points to that guy. I liked it so much. I actually went and listened to his new album, which I'm going to say is actually pretty good. So you guys should listen to it as well and form your own opinions. Maybe the guy's not such a wanker after all.
I agree with you on both of those singers, by the way, you're spot on.
Absolutely. Yeah, so let's go back to Papa though. He comes out and he's like, "You need to rock and roll. Hey, you gonna go bark for me?" And the crowd was just kind of crickets, just crickets. And I mean, I'm not going to say he's a great singer, but he's a good singer. I mean, he knows how to sing. But he wasn't awful. He just wasn't good. And there was a. Yeah. He was in a lot of people that sang those songs. Look at Sammy Hagar singing Flying High Again, and then singing Rock Candy. It was night and day. I mean, he really struggled on Flying High. You got to wonder about things like, how well did he really know the song? Did he know the lyrics that well? I don't know if they had a teleprompter or whatever they were doing. But yeah, he killed Rock Candy. He'd sing his ass off on that. So it's not that he couldn't sing. It's just, I'm going to say right now, it's just really difficult to sing Ozzy songs and make them sound well.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Yeah. And in terms of the guitarists, there were two. Obviously, he's got Zach Wilde, who played a blinder. He was amazing. Jake Healy, I wasn't fussed with. I don't know whether his guitar wasn't just turned up enough for me. I didn't like the sound from it that was coming from his guitar. I didn't think he's... I don't know. It didn't resonate with me. So, you know, Zach over Jake Healy any day.
I hear that Jake's having some problems with arthritis. And
okay.
He said he couldn't play Bark at the Moon. He refused to do it. He says, I can't do it. I can't.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
He sounded like he hadn't been playing much recently.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, Jake Healy was so great. And I'm like, were you listening or just watching?
Yeah.
You guys didn't know what you were experiencing? But yeah, Jeremy is 100% right. Jake Healy was just kind of, he was a little off. So
Nuno played the solo to The Ultimate Sin.
Yeah. Nuno was beyond on point, man. Yep. He was so damn good.
But he's amazing. He's just an amazing guy, isn't he?
I want him in my band, and I want Chad Smith. I think about all the drummers, Chad Smith was just that dude kills, man, on the drums. He just grooves. He like makes everything sound better when he plays. And the same thing with Nuno. You get Nuno and Chad Smith, and then of course me and the band would kind of bring it down a bit. But I'd give it a shot. I'd love to play with those guys.
Yeah, Nuno to me, out of all the footage that I've seen, to me was kind of the MVP because he nailed everything. And as I'm watching these videos, I'm thinking back to people slagging on Nuno for playing with Rihanna and this and that. And I'm thinking about a recent, or maybe not that recent, but he was speaking to Rich Beato, saying how More Than Words was kind of a curse for them because they were just known all of a sudden for playing acoustic songs. And man, we know that first single that came out off of that last album, off of Six, where it was like Nuno saying, okay, Eddie's gone. I'm now the king of the hill. And he just came out, plays a solo that just puts more or less every solo that's come out for the last 30 years to shame. It's just ridiculous how good he is. And it's funny because there was a point in time where I don't think you would have ever imagined Nuno playing with guys from Anthrax or with other stuff like that. And they had actually done stuff for HBO on Game of Thrones where they had played some stuff together where it was him, Scott Ian, and Tom Morello. So that probably facilitated all of that. But Nuno was amazing. I mean, I haven't seen Shot in the Dark because I've never liked that song.
Wait a second. Who's saying that was what's his name?
That was David Draiman.
Yeah, David Draiman is, again, more proof that singing Ozzy isn't that easy. When David Draiman walked on stage, I felt like, oh, my Uber driver's here. And he didn't exactly bring the crowd in, you know what I mean? That was tough crowd.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, Anthony mentioned it. There's, you know, he's very outspoken in the political reign and you know, there's a lot of people that aren't on his side at the moment. So good, bad, or indifferent, you know. Unfortunately, you know, I have no issue with bands stating their political point of views, but I think he's outspoken to the point where he's almost beating a dead horse. Where it's continuous. You know, you can have Gene Simmons kind of saying the same message, but it isn't every single interview. It isn't every single post. It isn't, you know, so
no. Well, he didn't bring it on. He didn't bring any of that on stage with him, and I'm cool. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, he just got up and sang, didn't he?
Yeah, he was. He wasn't. Yeah, he just
he got didn't up and say sang. Anything. He just sang the songs, and yeah.
But it and he's a good singer, but he it didn't work.
It didn't quite work. Didn't quite work for me either. Yeah, no. But that's the way it is. It's
they give him two songs.
Yeah,
two songs.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, it was an interesting mix all day, really. And you know, I was expecting that. I think I was expecting it to be a mixed day. You know, I knew that not everybody was going to get the Black Sabbath songs. I knew that you wouldn't like every single band. It's a bit like Live Aid where, you know, you watch that and, you know, you watch some of your favorites and then you.
Jeremy, tell us what you thought about Billy Corgan.
What did I think about Billy Corgan? Yeah. I haven't got any strong views on Billy Corgan. Why? What? You tell me.
I don't know. I thought his singing was, he shouldn't sing Judas Priest and he shouldn't sing Black Sabbath.
they're two of his favorite bands.
I know, but there's a lot of bands. I like Billy Sheehan, but I shouldn't try to play his stuff.
Yeah. But it just falls into the category of what you were saying, which is that, you know, it's very hard to sing these songs. Yeah. And, you know, only one person really sings them, and that's Ozzy. And you know, we'll get onto that in a minute, how good Ozzy was, really. Yeah.
The best thing Billy did was his wardrobe choice. I gotta give him credit for that. Well done. Yeah. Well done, Billy.
I haven't seen it, so
just think just close your eyes and think of Uncle Fester. Okay, then let it go.
Okay. You gotta remember all of these bands were giving up their time free of charge. It was all for charity. Mm-hmm. And generally, I thought it worked. You know, I thought the way totally they put it worked. Together.
None of it was awful. And, I'm just, you got to say, yeah.
But you've got to have some talking points. And even if it's something's bad, at least you've got a talking point. And that's always a good thing as well.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should have been booed. I don't think anybody should have been, you know, roasted. This is just good-natured critiquing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
What band do you guys think got booted from the?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, wow. Well, I know several that probably weren't. So I'm trying to think. Really, it's very difficult to think because it could be literally any band. Do you think Gene Simmons was invited?
Well,
No, definitely not.
No. There was nobody from Kiss.
Okay.
Invited to this because there's always been whether they want to admit it or not. I mean, Sabbath opened for Kiss. Yeah, they have.
Okay.
And
they opened for Boston. I refused to go to that concert.
Yeah.
How could Black Sabbath open for Boston? What kind of bizarre world are we living in?
It was more than a feeling.
Kansas.
But I've heard Ozzy say stuff about over the years of Kiss thinking that they invented everything and that, and that, you know, Kiss thinking that they're the greatest and blah, blah, blah. And him saying something to the extent of, well, they can kiss my ass. I think that there's probably some jealousy there. There's probably something about, you know, because Kiss came along when Sabbath was kind of taking a downturn. And they kind of ran with the mantle there for a little bit. They were direct competition for them in the 70s. You know, as Kiss was coming up, Sabbath was, you know, on Technical Ecstasy and Never Say Die. They weren't exactly, you know, barn burners with the albums or with the tours. So, and that's when... you know, Destroyer, Rock and Roll Over, and Love Gun were coming out, and you know, we still get back to the point of people in the UK having an issue with Kiss because of the makeup and all the theatrics, and now all of a sudden there's no issue with Sleep Token or President or any of these British bands that are doing the same thing. So
what we do know is it's a band and not an individual, don't we? So that's what was said. It's a band that got kicked off.
A band got kicked off
because I was thinking it might be somebody like Dave Lee Roth, but he obviously is on his own, and I don't think he'd be on that. It's more of a metal, it's going to be more metally, but Sharon has denied that it was Megadeth.
Well, Kelly Osbourne said it wasn't Megadeth.
Okay. So let's say it wasn't them.
Sharon was asked if it was Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
And Iron Maiden was playing in Madrid, Spain at the time.
Yeah.
So it's not, it wasn't them. And
we know it's not Judas Priest because they did a little video of Best Wishes. And again, they're on tour, so they couldn't come.
Yep, they had announced that they were playing with Scorpions on their 60th anniversary show in Hanover, Germany, and those tickets were released in April, and apparently they had asked if there was any way that they could get out of it, or if Scorpions could change the date to another day, and there was no way of doing that.
Priest should have been there. They would have been awesome, but they're...
AC/DC is another one where they tried to get Angus, but again, for due to commitments, he couldn't make it. The one rumored is Soundgarden, but that doesn't make sense to me because they're not a touring entity right now. And that isn't a band. I mean, you could have. Could Kim Thayil have played? Possibly. The one that keeps kind of coming back around to me, which to me was kind of shocking, that not a single member of this band was there, even if there are issues with their lead singer having health issues. Motley Crue. Why wasn't Tommy Lee or Nikki Sixx there? Because they've been tied to Ozzy since the 80s. He's quote unquote the guy that gave them their biggest, you know, platform before they took off.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe them. Yeah.
Because who else that's out there that's kind of a big deal that would have been asked to be there?
You know, I'm kind of surprised like Joe Elliott wasn't there, because he's always in on all this stuff. He's a huge fan of all this stuff, and he gets involved in all of these things.
But he doesn't like being pigeonholed into the whole metal thing.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Yeah, that's true.
So what are you going to have? You're going to force him to come out and do another hit and run or something like that, or that's going to actually go over with that crowd? Is he going to come out and want to do Hysteria or Two Steps Behind or something off of you know, their new album?
He could do a Mott the Hoople song.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Any, you know, Live Aid, yes. All the young dudes was done and so on and so forth. But would that have fit in? Would them covering Bowie at this made sense?
No, but did Train Kept a Rolling make sense? But I guess it was actually a song that he'd recorded. So
To get a Rolling Stone on stage, I mean, that's where Angus Young would have fit. You know, could you imagine Angus Young, Ron Wood, and Steven Tyler in track?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Yeah. Well, I wonder if we'll ever find out who got kicked off. And then it probably
Well, Sharon said that she was going to tell us at the end, once it's all over. So I'm
once
hoping
it's all over. But here's the thing. All right. So plausibility of this coming out on DVD, because we're talking about certain sets not being very good. So right off the bat, this was what, 10 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, would they release all 10 hours?
No.
Well, it wasn't 10 hours of performance. There's a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to come out because of, you know, getting all the legal stuff, everybody checked off, every band, every person that performed, getting all those people to sign off, their lawyers to sign off on it and stuff. That's going to be really, really difficult. And then you talk about Tool. Never been, presented in a video thing. They might be like, you know what? Yeah, we don't want to be on a DVD. We like to keep our mystique, and you know, we didn't mind doing it and having it be gone. I think it's going to be a hard thing to put out on DVD. That's my opinion.
I'll give you an alternative opinion, because I think it will definitely come out on DVD. And the reason why I think that is because they had already recorded all those snippets for In Between. And I think that those are going to be on the DVD as well. I think the plan was to always make money out of it. It wasn't to make profit out of it. It's to make more money for the charities. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's no reason why they couldn't do it, because I think they would have signed up at the outset to say that they were happy to have it on the DVD. And I think it will be edited, and I'd be quite surprised if it wasn't. That's my my opinion.
Okay. We didn't talk about the Ozzy and the Sabbath set list.
No.
No.
Something to talk about. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Who are they?
Well, one thing that was super cool about this show was, number one, my brother's watching it in Connecticut. I'm in Idaho. And we're back and forth. He's calling me. We're texting, all this stuff. And then I got people in the Signals from Mars chat group that were watching, and especially like Jeremy. And it was kind of cool bouncing things back and forth, giving live opinions of what's going on. It was a cool shared experience that way. But the funniest thing was, right before Ozzy comes on, Jeremy sends out a message. I know, guys, it's really late and I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed now.
yeah.
I thought that was completely brilliant. And I kept thinking, man, I'm so glad I didn't go to this thing. Can you imagine trying to stand there for that long, Jeremy?
I know.
I'm a geezer, man. I'd be like, after the first three bands, I'd be like, I got to sit down.
But I mean, the Ozzy show was really good. I mean, Zakk Wylde performed really well for it. I thought it was amazing. Ozzy, obviously, we knew he was going to sit down. I wasn't expecting five songs. It was heavily influenced on the first album, as we know. Four of the tracks were off the debut album that he did, which was great because it was such a great album. He did the ones that he's comfortable doing. I thought his voice sounded amazing. Obviously, we know that he's got Parkinson's disease, so he's shaking a little bit, and he practiced and he got it all together. And it was as good as, if not better than I was expecting.
Definitely better than I expected.
Yeah, definitely. There you go. Yeah, so really enjoyed that. And then Black Sabbath themselves, he came out and he obviously done his own stuff first, so he was a little bit more relaxed. And they did the four songs that we kind of imagine they were going to do, particularly Paranoid and Iron Man. Not Iron Man. You said Iron Man, I think, Brad, but I was said War Pigs. Yeah. And they were great. I mean, the other thing about it was, it wasn't all about Ozzy. I mean, it was Bill Ward. I mean, you know, Bill was back in the band, and that was an amazing moment as well, which is kind of overlooked, really. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about Ozzy joining the band and Black Sabbath coming back, but nobody really mentioned Bill a lot. I think he did a good job. He's not played for a long time. They're all old guys now. And it was amazing.
So, Jeremy, the big hot point on Bill is him taking his shirt off.
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Well,
I was Tony said he looked like Gollum.
I've seen a lot of old guys. I've seen a lot of old guys with their shirts off in a field somewhere sipping a beer. I mean, he didn't really have the body to take off a shirt, but hey, it's Bill Ward, so he can do what the hell he likes.
That's right. Yeah, I want to just say this. I thought this is the way Sabbath should end, with the four original guys playing together.
Yeah.
And I never felt good about the way they previously had ended it with the, with another drummer. It was Black Sabbath, but it wasn't Black Sabbath. This was Black Sabbath. This is the real deal. All four guys. And it was incredible. It was just a lot, very emotional. But I got to hand it to all the people who were there at the show. I mean, a lot of young people there, you know, as they panned out, and they all stayed and they all brought it. When Ozzy was on, everybody was just up for it. When Sabbath came on, everybody was up for it. And you could just, I mean, great audience. So well done, all you people who went to this thing. And, it was a great show.
Yeah.
It was well worth more than I paid for it. Sorry, Sharon, don't send me a bill.
Yeah. The interesting thing is that Ozzy did five songs and Black Sabbath only did four. And it was weird because I imagine that Ozzy could only actually sing a couple of songs because we know how ill he's been. But actually, yeah. he was okay singing once he sat down. And I heard later that Tony Iommi had said that they should have done maybe some more. He wanted to do some more with the Black Sabbath set.
Yeah, that would have, I mean, even though I think for us, it was more about Black Sabbath, but the person who was putting this whole thing on, it was more about Ozzy. Yeah. And in a way it is, because Ozzy's the one who's really, you know, not going to be able to keep doing this. Mm. I mean, Tony, Geezer, if he wanted to, they could keep playing. Bill, so supposedly Bill has two new albums coming out that he's done, so. Mm.
But they had reservations a long time ago about Bill doing a lot of songs, didn't they? So maybe it was Bill and Ozzy together, and they thought, you know, if we do more than four, we're pushing it, and they probably thought that's enough.
Yeah, that's a fair point. There was probably, you know, some discussion in there, but I want to hear from Bill. Bill, how did you feel, man? Could you have kept playing? Mm. I mean, it's not like you got to play tennis tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. The other thing to consider as well, as we mentioned with the Anthrax set, the Sabbath songs aren't short. War Pigs is how long? 6-7 minutes long.
Yeah.
NID is up there as well. Iron Man is, I mean, Paranoid is the only one that's 3 minutes long. The Ozzy songs are all short.
Yeah. If
you really think about
it. Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, War Pigs is like almost 8 minutes long.
Yeah, so that's the reason why they only did four. They probably played close to the same amount of time, but it was more songs for one than the other. So now let's bring up. We've seen this. We also know what Rush did, for example. Hmm. And for the longest time, people were saying, well, that's the way to go out before you overstay your welcome. There's nobody saying, well, yeah, you have some assholes out there saying, oh, they shouldn't have put Ozzy through that, blah, blah, blah. It's that and the other thing.
I'll say this to anybody that says that. Ozzy's the one who wanted to do this. He's the one who actually brought this whole thing on, because he kept saying, I want one more time in front of, I want to be able to perform one more time for my people. Mm-hmm. And, this wasn't Tony pushing it. It wasn't Geezer pushing it. It wasn't Bill Ward pushing it. It was Ozzy. And then there's everybody. It's like, oh, it's only Sharon. Sharon's going to keep pushing him out there till he dies. And it's, you know, I think this is all Ozzy. He wanted to do it. And God bless him. I'm glad he got to do that. Cause how many performers get to do that? Mm-hmm. Get to come back and do their one show for their people and have it be a big deal. And
And he pretty much said that when he was out there live. He kind of said that in between the songs, didn't he? He was saying how much he loved it and he wanted to do it. Yeah.
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 So I mean, I give this whole thing top marks. I think, you know, we can be nitpicky about stuff, but it was it was an incredible event. I loved every minute of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was so cool. Block out a whole day, got my, you know, in my theater with the cranked up and just chatting with all my buddies. It was an awesome experience. One night I won't forget.
Yeah.
So here's my question to you guys.
Okay.
What other bands would you like to see hang it up in a similar fashion?
Okay. I've got a few. What about you, Brad?
I'm thinking. Go, let's hear your few.
Okay, so I'll give you my first one. I'm thinking of sort of a Deep Purple Tree. Because obviously Deep Purple is still playing. I think it would go down well in the UK market, but probably abroad, because they've gone quite popular again recently with their newer albums. But I'm thinking more, you know, they could play a lot of the stuff from the past. You could have Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow on there. You could have Glenn Hughes playing. You could have Gillan playing. You could have David Coverdale's Whitesnake playing. And it would be all in various formats. And there would be other people playing Deep Purple songs. I think that would kind of work.
You definitely get Metallica on board for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see that. That would actually be really cool. Could be really cool. It's too bad John Lord's not around though.
Yeah.
Nah, that's
the only thing there is, would Ian Gillan be fine with having Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale on the same bill? Problem at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You'd like to think he'd be a bigger man than that.
Yeah. No, and they're playing at different times of the day. They don't have to run into each other.
Even so, it's like, come on, guys, we're all adults here. Let's all hug let's have a celebration of the music of this band, which you guys are all part of.
And we're all pushing on 80. What does it matter?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's just play this one last time.
I mean, if they're going to bring crap in
there. All right. So who else? Who else?
Is this another one of mine? So I'm thinking, I'm also thinking maybe, I had a few written down, but I'm thinking, obviously they're on tour at the moment, so it's not kind of a farewell, but you'd want an Iron Maiden one, because I think there's a lot of bands out there that would, you know, play an Iron Maiden song. And I think that there's going to be a time when Iron Maiden are going to say, hey, you know, we need to hang up our boots.
No, you die with your boots on. What are you talking about?
I was waiting for that. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, this would be the final swan song for Iron Maiden with a big show. Yeah,
you talk about singers having a tough time covering Ozzy songs. David Draiman singing an Iron Maiden song might be pretty interesting. I don't know. But I agree that actually Iron Maiden was the first band I thought of that this would be a great way for them to go out, because they're worldwide. I mean, they're huge everywhere. It's not like just little spots or whatever. They could draw that kind of audience in from all over the world to watch this. I mean, Iron Maiden fans are pretty rabid, man. I could see that being successful, them being able to pull it off. So good one. Good one, Jeremy.
Brad, you?
Oh, go on, Brad. Yeah, it's your turn.
No.
Go ahead.
Well, the one band, I think another band would have been really good, but I think they've kind of missed that opportunity, is Kiss. You think about how every musician my age and younger for 10, 15 years, they're all Kiss fans. And most of them will tell you, I'm a musician because of Kiss, because I saw Kiss and that's what got me into this. So you would have a huge group of people wanting to be part of that, wanting to get out there and do Kiss songs. And I'm going to say this, that a lot of people have done really good Kiss covers. I think that aspect of it would be much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'd have that kind of huge group of people wanting to play, and yeah, you could get the Kiss guys to. You still got the original guys, man, dude. If they did it like Sabbath and said, okay, we're gonna get the original four guys, come out and play four songs. Tell me, Victor, that wouldn't be huge. Tell me that the world wouldn't stop spinning for, you know, 30 minutes.
Be the biggest thing in America, wouldn't it?
It would. It would. So, but yeah, Kiss maybe not as big in other places, but it would still be huge, man. People would tune into that, but I just don't see it happening.
No. Like,
again, people didn't need to quit being such, you know, so petty about stuff and like just say, hey, you know, these guys are my family. And let's do this one more time. Let's get Peter out there. Yeah, he can't, you know, he probably can't play as well as Bill Ward, but that's all right. I mean, just to see him play just three songs.
Yeah, we're talking about a charity event as well. So that would encourage people to just turn up and just play a few songs and go.
Yeah, people would, you'd have to tell people, no, we have too many people wanting to be part of this. Mm. You'd have so many musicians that would want to be part of this thing.
Brad, but, was that purposeful that you just said, he's not Bill Ward, it's all right?
Oh no, but good one. Yeah. It's can I say something about Axel doing It's All Right? I don't know whether he had to pee or something, but man, he was playing that as fast as I've ever heard that song. I've never heard them cover it before. So he
probably had the clock in front of him telling him.
It felt like it got faster. This is the first song they're playing.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he was really like ready to play the piano there on that because he was kind of a little bit choppy and didn't do the whole song and just kind of blew through it. And he looked like he took a deep breath afterward. So it's like, oh, good. I can just sing now. But you could have got Adam Wakeman out there to play the piano and have him just sing it. Dude, that would have been pro.
Here's all right. So here's the thing with that you just mentioned with Kiss that I want to get back to.
All right.
Does this show now make Kiss, Rush?
Oh, can you imagine a Rush doing something like this?
Hard to sing.
How does this change what other bands do now? Because now we've brought this back and Geddy and Alex say, okay, let's do this. Let's do, again, they can do it in Toronto. You could have a full day's worth of shows of people playing originals and covers of their songs. And then they come out at the end of the night and they play four or five songs. Them two with guest drummers. They come out, they play with Mike Portnoy, Danny Carey, two other guys, you know, a different drummer per song.
Peter Criss.
I was jokingly going to say Ringo Starr, but Peter Criss is.
Okay, if we're going to put, Ringo Starr versus Peter Criss, I'm going to put my money on Ringo. I'm sorry.
No, me too. But outside of this, I mean, bands that. I'd love to see do something like this. You guys mentioned Iron Maiden. I'd love to see Judas Priest do this.
Yeah.
Here, I'd love to see Judas Priest too. I just don't think they have
the staying power.
I don't think they have the fan base to pull it off a worldwide thing like this. Unfortunately, Judas Priest has kind of drifted down into the B+ territory of bands. Yeah. They're not going to be able to sell out or arena or whatever, but I would love to see it though. I think Creative Priest did something like that.
But here's your selling point. You're going to get Metallica to play that.
Oh, hell yeah.
You might even get Iron Maiden to play that.
Ooh.
Maiden? Metallica?
Yeah. See, Nico could probably pick up the sticks and do a couple of songs. Come on.
You could see that. I could imagine a band like Scorpions.
And I was just going to say that. Scorpions, yeah.
Scorpions, yep. Saxon, Anthrax, Slayer, huge Judas Priest fans. So it doesn't necessarily have to be, because Rush isn't a huge band worldwide either. But you get them in the right spot. You get Rush in Toronto with a bunch of bands of that stature. You get a Judas Priest in Birmingham with huge bands like that. And it happens. It works.
I'd go if I could. I'd pay to watch it.
Yeah.
All of those bands you guys have talked about.
There's one other band we've not mentioned. That's AC/DC.
That's my other one that I was going to mention.
Yeah.
Yeah, AC/DC for sure. Guy, why didn't I even think of that?
AC/DC, you could have them play anywhere in the world. You could have AC/DC play at the local soccer field, which is 10 minutes walking away from me. And you could invite any band you want, and that's going to sell out. And you're going to sell a worldwide pay-per-view.
Yeah, any band is going to want to play, because any band plays an AC/DC song. So it's a no-brainer. But they play anyway at the moment, so they're not going to want to. They're not interested.
But listen, these bands, this was a discussion I had earlier this week. These bands are not getting younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a way for them to fade out in the sunset.
Yeah.
Does it have to be AC/DC now? No, but could it be AC/DC in 2 years?
Yeah.
Where they aren't touring, where this is a way for them to say, okay, look.
Yeah.
This is it. We're going to go out. We're going to do this one big show.
Yeah.
We're going to invite all these people along. And that's going to be the end of it. Aerosmith, we mentioned Steven.
Yeah, Tyler. Yeah, they were another one on my list. Yeah, absolutely. They could do it. And by the way, as a final swan song, we haven't discussed Led Zeppelin, because there's still some original members around and they could do it.
My problem is I don't think you're getting Robert Plant anywhere near that, because I think Robert Plant doing those songs live is going to make Axl Rose's It's All Right sound like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Here's your career of the day.
The
thing is, he doesn't have to do, he could cherry pick three Zeppelin songs that he feels comfortable singing.
Yeah, sure.
Three, and do that, and then have everybody else, because
everyone else is doing the rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, for this concert, it was all about Black Sabbath and Ozzy, but all those other bands that played, I loved all of that.
I can imagine Aerosmith doing Kashmir. I could imagine, Metallica doing Custard Pie.
But Steven Tyler singing a Whole Lot of Love. He killed it.
Yeah.
And I know he actually went and jammed with those guys after they did the reunion thing. And then Robert Plant was like, I'm done. I know they flew Steven over there and rehearsed with him. And I was like, I don't know about that. But after listening to him singing, I'm like, guy, he'd be great singing for Zeppelin, man. Right now. Holy crap, he was good. I'm still blown away about how good he was. So that's a brilliant idea, actually, because everybody but Johan would not watch it, because Zeppelin's not hard rock. It's not.
Or Metal Dan, man. Metal Dan doesn't care for them
either. Metal Dan didn't go.
Could Motley Crue pull something like this off?
No.
On a smaller stage instead of a huge stadium the LA Forum or something like that?
Yeah, I guess so. Smaller stage, but I don't think anyone's going to be as interested in that. It's not. Yeah.
How many big bands are going to want to queue up to be part of that?
You Journey could do it.
Wow. Yeah. Especially if they get
Steve Perry. They got so many hits.
Steve Perry. Yeah. So yes. Like we're going to do one last show and Steve Perry's going to sing with the band and, wow. Yeah. Journey could probably do it. Still not as big as some of these other bands, I think, but they could do something like that. Those guys can't get along though. What the hell's wrong with them? Seriously.
You can maybe do a Queen one because obviously Brian May is still around and you've got Roger Taylor and they could come out and do a few Queen songs and you probably get a load of people doing Queen stuff.
Yeah. You probably saw that. Didn't they got some kind of award. Wasn't that over there in the UK? And they have a bunch of people doing Queen songs. Hmm. We have Papa doing Bohemian Rhapsody, which
he actually that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was Sweden.
I love that the boys are sitting there eating dinner while there's, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody's going on. Brian May, like, dude, this salad dressing is a little spicy.
So I wasn't aware that Jake was having problems with his hands as you had mentioned.
I don't have a confirmation of that. Somebody told me that. Somebody told me that he refused to play Bark at the Moon. Hmm. He said, I just can't do it anymore. I just can't. Because it's a tough lick to play.
Well, but is that maybe from the recent shooting? Because
he claimed it was, well, the person who told me this claimed that he said it was arthritis. So,
well, but here's the thing. With Red Dragon Cartel, he was playing all that stuff.
Right, but that was years ago. I mean, when was the last time?
A while ago, yeah.
Red Dragon Cartel show. It's
4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. Trust me, when you get to this age, one year, exactly. What I'm going to feel like a year from now might not even.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years at that age is a long time. Right. Yeah,
so this
an exponential decrease.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to float out, the possible thing for Jake. I guess based on what you guys are telling me, you guys are going to poo-poo all over my idea here. But I'll throw it out there anyway.
No, let's hear it.
So Zakk Wylde started Zakk Sabbath as a way to kind of keep Sabbath music going. Huh. What if Zakk decides to start up another project with Jake? Where they keep the Ozzy material going. Short tours. You don't have to do a long year long tour. Maybe you do a month and a half, 2 months worth of touring. Doesn't have to be in large arenas.
Yeah.
What's that?
You get Billy Corgan to be the singer.
You wouldn't necessarily need Billy Corgan, but Zach's already doing Ozzy vocals with the Zakk Sabbath stuff.
Yeah, you're right. He sings Ozzy really well. You know who really sings Ozzy well? And Jeremy already talked about this, is Jack Black. Holy crap. His voice is really suited for Ozzy. Yeah.
He was amazing. He was the best.
Now I'm still going to go Jay from Rival Sons.
Yeah. But
two of them are amazing. He has so much swagger, man. With the he's got the maroon suit on, no shoes or socks, and he's out there just killing it, running back and forth. I was like, "Crap! How can these guys be so damn good and not be bigger?"
But if you had one of those singing in that band that Victor's just mentioned, it's got legs.
Yeah,
legs.
Yeah, I'm not going to poo-poo that. Who knows? Maybe Jake can, with some physical therapy, occupational therapy, get his fingers going. The human body can do amazing things.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a good thought.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, Victor. I'm not going to poo-poo it.
Yeah. All right. It's a good thought. But an even better thought is whether Sabbath will continue to do anything after this.
I hope not. Just because they hit this so well. It's like, why risk going out not looking that good? You know, You got to stop now. Stop now.
But Ozzy is definitely going to stop. We know that. But is Tony Iommi going to stop?
Oh, I hope Tony keeps playing. I mean, he can still, he can, but will he? I don't know. I got to tell you something, you know, as somebody who's recently retired, your whole, it changes your whole outlook on doing things. It's kind of like, I don't know. Yeah. You kind of lose that drive. Well, maybe I'm just talking about me. It's like, yeah, I'm going to go conquer the world now. Hell no. I'm going to sit back, have a beverage and watch the world go by.
But Tony said, he said, this is the end of the chapter, but it's not the end of, what did he say? It's not the end of the,
story,
the end of the story. So that was quite a poignant message that he put out, because it means there's something extra, whether he means that it's the legacy that everyone will talk about, or whether he's actually got plans to do something else. And I'm thinking, is he going to do something with Tony Martin?
Yeah, but that's not going to have the same. I mean, I'm thinking
you're right, and nobody's going to queue up for that other than us.
Well, yeah. We will. Yeah, we'll be interested. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. But he brought out obviously the Tony Martin era stuff recently. Is he going to produce a solo album with Tony Martin singing? But it's not going to be Black Sabbath. It's just going to be Tony Iommi. I mean, Tony always gives me the impression that he hasn't given up yet. He wants to do something. No. What I'm saying to you as well is that there were four songs played. Tony was the only one who said we could have played five more. He wanted to do it.
I think Geezer can still play, but I know from listening to him in interviews that he's kind of like. He's kind of checked out a little bit. Somebody calls with something, you know, come play with me for a couple of songs. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll go do it. But
Tony's done a couple of sort of instrumental things, hasn't he? Which he's sent put out there, and he's done the remastering of the Black Sabbath Tony Martin era. He's always wanting to do something. I'm just thinking he thinks that because Black Sabbath is his kind of baby still, isn't it? I'm just thinking, does he not think legally. There's something there? What's
that? It's his, but not legally. Sharon owns. I mean, the Osborne family owns 75% of it now.
So, but he could do his own thing, which sounds like Sabbath.
Yeah. I mean, I could imagine he's recently talked about re-releasing Born Again in a remix. Yeah,
that's supposedly he's done. That's a supposedly done deal that he's remixed it.
I could see them releasing live stuff from the band, from the Ozzy era, like there being more material from that side of things. I can see how the story continues with that.
I got an idea. Okay, this is based on listening to Jeremy talking about one of his favorite singers, Ronnie Romero, that they could do, Geezer and Tony could do a tribute to the Dio era of Sabbath and Heaven and Hell. They could do something like that. There's plenty of singers out there that can do really good Ronnie.
And
you know people would queue up for that too, to jump in on that. It's like let's do a celebration of Ronnie.
I think they would have done that by now.
Well, yes and no.
It's been 15 years since he died.
But I mean, the thing is, this that just happened opens this up again. I mean, it's like, I don't think anybody thought, well, who's going to want to do this? Who's going to put up the money, this and that? I guess now that they've done this and pulled it off and it's been a real big success, I think it opens it up to other people trying to do this kind of thing.
I agree with that, but I don't see, you know, they're not going to be able to use the Sabbath name.
Heaven and Hell.
But it doesn't have the same weight.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Yeah.
So I've got a question for you. We know how well Ozzy sung at this thing. We know that Ozzy is finished as a live act, but Ozzy has never finished as a recording act.
Yeah, so he's going to put out more music.
I know, but yeah. do you think Black Sabbath are going to release another album?
With Andrew Watt producing?
Be better than Rick Rubin producing.
Because
I'd actually like to hear that. I'd be really.
They've all got together. They've all played well together. They released 13, but it didn't have Bill Ward on. Do you think they could follow up with a very final Sabbath album? 2026. What would they release?
I think it'd be really cool. I don't think that.
Well,
I don't know.
Here's maybe not an album, but let's remember when they released the reunion album, it had Selling My Soul and Psycho Man on it. One of them had Bill Ward. One of them had Mike Borden on drums.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they do for if this ever comes out as an actual album or as a box set, maybe we get a new Sabbath song or two. Yeah. To kind of wrap things up.
Mm. I wouldn't put it past Sharon to have already got this in her mind to think that we could just push one more album out. We've done this live thing and there's a big interest now in Sabbath. Everybody's listening to Sabbath again, talking about Sabbath. Maybe 13 wasn't the last album. Maybe they will do one more. Having said that, why would they do it? Because there's not much money in an album. It's more in touring these days and merchandise. But they would sell a lot of merchandise and a lot of other stuff based on an album.
Yeah, 13.
And it would get to number one in the UK pretty easily, I think.
Could they be planning on doing the same thing that Kiss is doing right now? And that ABBA has done with doing something in Birmingham related to Sabbath.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
We have to be avatars. I mean, it can be what I've always discussed, where it's actual footage of the band playing, where you actually go to a 2000 seat arena.
Yeah.
And for this month, you're going to have, the Sabbath doing this tour, or you're going to have Sabbath doing this other thing. And, at that time, I mean, do you get a Sharon to kind of bend a little and say, hey, we're going to do a Sabbath festival for people to go see. Do we throw in a Dio song in there? I doubt it, but
But yeah, I think a sort of avatar or a live sort of show of some sort. Yeah, it's got a lot of legs. Definitely possible.
Again, Sabbath is a band that could do it. Sabbath in the right place, which is Birmingham, who's already bending over backwards for the band. So, yeah. and here's the other thing to take into consideration. Led Zeppelin and Judas Priest are both from the same city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do either one of those bands have a bridge? Do they have a bench? Do they have all the murals that Sabbath now has in that city? There isn't that same tie-in with those two bands that there is with Sabbath.
Yeah. The other thing to bear in mind, which you two guys probably don't know, is that Birmingham City Council is actually bankrupt. And so they could do with a lot of revenue. They need to bring a lot of money into the city at the moment, because it's the only city at the moment that I know, the only major city that is completely on its knees. It's had, I won't go into all the details. There's a lot of politics involved, but there's a lot of detail as well. But the main thing that from that is that they would really welcome a big Black Sabbath continuation, if I can put it that way, from this gig, to have people coming into the city, to have revenue from whatever is being done in Black Sabbath's name. I think that it would be very good for Birmingham.
So So there you go. If there's any type of museum, exhibit, avatar, whatever.
Yeah.
You may be planning, yeah, maybe a Sabbath museum.
Yeah.
Birmingham is the place to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I went to the, I went to a temporary museum exhibit in Birmingham for Black Sabbath. It was really good. They had all Tony's guitars in there and they had various bits and pieces and some, you know, nice video footage. And yeah, they could do a permanent thing in there.
I'll tell you what, watching this this show the other day made me feel like I need to go to Birmingham. I need to go there.
It's great. Yeah, it's a good city. Great city center. I really like it.
So
there you go. The
of course I have to go see Jeremy too. So
yeah, well, if you go to Birmingham, I'll come and meet you there.
Yeah, you don't want me to know where you live. I get it.
Well, you did meet me in London, so
yeah, I did. Yeah.
See, Jeremy's got a secret life he's trying to protect.
No, you can come and visit me here. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. Awesome. Any parting words before we wrap the show up, Brad?
It was a day that I will remember forever. It was fun, and it was really cool to be able to share it with the people. The Signals from Mars group on the chat, it was great to be able to share it with those guys, and it was really great to share it with my brother, who, as you know, is probably the world's largest Black Sabbath fan. And it was just fun, man. It was a fun day, and I'm so glad I was able to have that day to be able to take in the whole thing. So
excellent. Jeremy?
Yeah, just say that without Black Sabbath, heavy metal would be all the poorer. They've contributed so much to the genre that we like and that we love, and we'll never forget them because we've got all the albums, we've got the CDs, and they'll live on forever. And they've influenced so much over the years, and it's just been great. You know, everybody knows Paranoid, and that marks a band out from the sort of the almost rans, the also rans, because you know, when you've got a song that everyone knows, even your mother-in-law, it's you know, they're big.
you don't know my mother-in-law. Hey, the other thing is, you look at the crowd at this thing. You know how tough it was to get tickets. I feel like most of the people I saw there were young, younger than me.
Yeah, and even younger. There were a lot of young people. Yeah.
Well, a lot of young people there, which means Sabbath is going to live forever.
Yeah. Heavy metal's having a renaissance. People are into Maiden and Sabbath and all the old bands that we got into when we were young. People are getting into them again.
Yeah. It's not like people were giving away tickets to that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Yeah. But because they're amazing songs. If you don't have the amazing songs, you ain't going to be remembered, but you will be if you have those great songs.
Yeah. Songs are the personality of everybody in the band. There's the whole package.
There you go. And on that note, folks, I do want to thank Brad and Jeremy for joining me for this awesome discussion. With that, we will end the show. We will see you next time right here on Signals from Mars. See you, folks.
Thank you for watching the Signals from Mars live stream. You can watch the show live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch. Or check out replays on YouTube. Go to signalsfrommars.com for more information. This concludes our show.